The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday, June 6th, 2024. This is On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. While sun's sort of shining outside, been on and off rain. I think there was supposed to be some more, but it looked like it moved up and out of here. So appreciate you spending your afternoon with us here on ESPN 106.7. Man, do we have a ton to talk about on the show today. It's the news that has really shaken the sports world today, and as of about 5:30, 5:45 this morning, it was the report that the Los Angeles Lakers are pursuing Dan Hurley, back-to-back national champion head coach at UConn. They are searching and pursuing him as their new head coach. Nothing is done yet as far as I know, but there are just tons of reports, and it's very well known that the Lakers are going after the back-to-back national champion head coach up there for the Huskies, Dan Hurley. Well, what does that mean? Why am I telling you this? Well, there are already people who are throwing around Bruce Pearl's name to fill that open spot in UConn. We're going to talk about that today and kind of what that means, what all is happening, and is that real? Is that true? Is there any real threats to Bruce Pearl leaving Auburn to be the next head coach at UConn? We'll talk about that today. Plus, we'll talk a little Auburn football. I'm in that receiver room. I'm sure you've seen the photo by now. It is awesome. It is fantastic. The Freeze 4. So we have that to talk about today. Plus, coming up in hour number two here on this Thursday afternoon, we'll have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He will join us as well. We'll talk all things SEC with the Super Regionals getting going tomorrow for college baseball. Also, some recruiting updates, and then, we'll get his thoughts on what this could mean around college basketball with Bruce Pearl, possibly UConn, or whoever else could take that job up there in the Big East. So that's what's on the schedule for today. I want to hear from you, though. It's you and me on this Thursday afternoon. Phone line, still working, okay? We still got it patched together for now until we get the new system up and running. So you can give us a call, 334-321-1390. Same number it's always been. There's one line, so call in. It's going to put you on hold immediately. You'll be able to hear me. If it's during a break, you won't be able to hear anything, but you'll be on hold. We'll get to you, so just hang on. All right, so give us a call, 334-321-1390. If it keeps ringing, hang up and call back. That means somebody else is already on, and we will get to you as soon as we can. You can also text us on our on-the-line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. Again, 334-784-1067. I want to hear your thoughts on this news from today that Dan Hurley is being pursued by the Los Angeles Lakers to be their new head coach. And just from a basketball standpoint, before Auburn even gets into this thing, before Bruce Pearl's name is even brought up, before any relation and anything is tied to Auburn here, can we establish how crazy this is? Can we establish how wild and out of left field that this was this morning when I woke up to do my morning routine and I started getting on my phone and I saw all these notifications that the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the most prestigious NBA organizations, one of the most prestigious organizations in the history of sports, a team that has LeBron James on its basketball team, on its roster, a team that fired its head coach after an okay season, nothing crazy, but it wasn't up to their standards, and they've been in a pretty extensive coaching search for a while. And just a couple of days ago, the Lakers, it didn't come from them, but it was reported that they were going after the former sniper, sharpshooter, three-point guy in J.J. Redick to be their next head coach. He had so-called taken the lead, right, in their head coaching search. And that was really interesting because if you didn't know, LeBron James and J.J. Redick do a podcast together. J.J. Redick, of course, played in the NBA for a long time. He played at the Los Angeles Clippers for a really long time. One of my favorite players. The guy could really, really play. Super smart. Extremely talented in the NBA. He was great in college, too. And so that was really interesting that the Lakers were going after J.J. Redick. And, of course, people were dogging on him. Oh, LeBron, that's a LeBron hire. LeBron wants J.J. They do a podcast together, yada, yada, yada. Well, then this morning it comes out that the Lakers have changed their mind. They are going after somebody even bigger, somebody who's already been a coach, somebody that's proven themselves at the level that they're at. And they were going to put together what seemed to be an undeniable offer, an offer that could not be turned down. They were going to put everything they could to go after this guy. And it's Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley from UConn, who, if you've been living under a rock, has been the best coach in college basketball the last handful of years. Back-to-back national titles at UConn, a program that I talked about with Doug earlier today, and you probably heard us having this conversation a little bit. A program that in the last quarter century has been the best program in college basketball, and it's really not close. Look at what they've done. That's a program that consistently competes and wins national championships. And Dan Hurley's been in that rotation. He hasn't been there the whole time, but he's been there for a little bit. And he's got back-to-back national titles at UConn. And I know that UConn is a big brand. It's a big name. It's a great program in college basketball. But as a school and as an athletics department, they are very much behind some of the bigger name schools, some of the bigger name athletic departments. Just think of the blue bloods of college basketball. Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA, right? Those types of schools. They have all the sports. They have all the money. They have all the fame. They have all of the attention. And so having the resources for those programs has been easy. They've always had it, and they always will. But UConn doesn't. And Doug and Jake brought this up when I was on with them earlier about the fact that UConn doesn't have football money to back them up. They don't have those other programs. Basketball is what they do. Now, they compete in a really good conference in the Big East, a conference that I loop in with the others. I always say the Power Six conferences of college basketball, and now you can say the Power Five because the Pac-12 doesn't exist. So now you'll have the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Big East. And so UConn's been up there, and if you listen to this show and you know me, I love the Big East. It's my Other than the SEC, of course, it's my favorite conference in college basketball. I love watching what they do. And UConn has ran through that for years. And they've won at the highest level. And then all of a sudden, the Lakers, who are just searching for the answer at head coach, they've got all the talent in the world. They have a guy that's in conversation as the greatest of all time in LeBron James. They've got one of the best centers in the league when he stays healthy in Anthony Davis, plus all sorts of young talent around him. They're looking for that coach. They won the championship a few years ago in the bubble, right? People call it the Mickey Mouse championship. People don't count it. I do. A championship's a championship. I don't care how you win it. I don't care where you win it. I don't care who you did it, who you beat. I don't care. A title's a title to me. But the Lakers are looking to be great again year after year after year. And this name, Dan Hurley, had not come from. I mean, this is so far out of left field. This isn't even left field. This is the left grandstand. This is the left field parking lot back behind whatever stadium. I mean, this was it, and maybe I've just been, maybe I'm the one that's been living under a rock in terms of this. I have not seen Dan Hurley pop up on the Lakers radar at all. And I'm a big NBA fan. My Boston Celtics play tonight in the NBA Finals. I love the NBA. But Dan Hurley, I just had no idea that the Lakers were interested. And maybe they weren't for a while. Maybe they just woke up and decided, you know what? Let's just throw a Hail Mary and see if it works. And you know what? There's a good chance that it does. And there's, again, there's Auburn ties here, so hang with me now. There's a good chance that the Lakers could pull this off. Because Dan Hurley, sure, he's making $6 million at UConn. He's making some money, and he's a back-to-back champion. And so my take is, even if it wasn't the Lakers, what if it was Kentucky? What if Kentucky hadn't, because he was floating around for that job until he turned it down. You remember that? He was floating around. His name was out there for that job, and he had to decline it, turn it down, right? Arkansas, when that whole thing went down with John Calipari and Kentucky was looking for their new guy, Dan Hurley was in that rotation, and he said, nah, I'm good. And my question was, what else does he have to prove at UConn? He's done everything he can do, unless he goes for the three-peat, which they're locked and loaded again this year. They very well could do it. There's no doubt about it. But this isn't another college job. This isn't just another big-name college program. This is the NBA. The association has called and said, we want you here. And it's not just any team in the NBA. This is not the Detroit Pistons. And I'm talking the 2024 Detroit Pistons. I'm not talking the bad boy Pistons here. I'm talking the Detroit Pistons that can't have a winning season. This isn't them. This is the Los Angeles Lakers, the biggest brand in the NBA. And I'm a Celtics fan saying that. This is the team of Los Angeles. It's the team with LeBron James. And they want you as their next head coach. They're going to pay you as much money as you want. They're going to hand you a blank check in a coaching term and say, come coach us. And you know what? Shout out to the Lakers, man. That's genius. Because Dan Hurley's a great coach. He's a fantastic coach. One of the best in the game. His offensive mind, his defensive mind, his passion and his energy is almost unmatched. And so, if the Lakers pull it off, good for them, because that's phenomenal. And nothing against guys like J.J. Redick that they've been going after, but J.J. Redick's never been a coach. He went from a player to a broadcaster, and does a pretty good job broadcasting, by the way. But he's never been a coach at that level. Never been an NBA coach. And so, do the Lakers really want to go and hire somebody like that? Or do you want to give Dan Hurley, a 51-year-old man who is a fantastic college coach, do you want to give him his first real shot at that stage? I think it's a genius marketing move. And not just a marketing move, I think it's a genius move to try to win and have your organization be great once again. And give LeBron James his chance to win one more title. And you all know the storyline of LeBron trying to play with his son Bronny, who's going to be in the NBA draft. We all know that storyline. And the Lakers are going to do everything they can to make that happen. And so they decided, we're going to try and go get one of the best coaches in the game of basketball. Not just in the NBA, not just in college. One of the best coaches in the game. But nothing's official. Nothing has happened. Dan Hurley's still the coach of UConn, as far as I'm concerned, at, what, 2:15 on this Thursday? He's still the coach. But what has really gotten people riled up, especially in this state and especially in this town, is what happens if Dan Hurley does leave UConn. Then the question becomes, as it always does when a big program loses its head coach, who's next? Who steps in? Who does UConn go after? And if you put yourself in the shoes of the UConn Huskies athletic department right now, you're scared to death. Because you already fended off a couple of big-name teams because Dan Hurley turned them down. But I don't think they had any idea that the NBA was going to come calling. And again, one of the biggest NBA teams was going to come calling. And I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that Connecticut can offer Dan Hurley that will touch what the Lakers are going to offer him. Not the money, not the facilities, not the resources, nothing. They can't compete with that. And that's not their fault. That's business. And I don't think they had any worry or any idea that they were going to have to go through this. And look, Dan Hurley may turn it down. He may turn it down. But I don't know if he will. But then the question becomes, okay, where does UConn go? And that's raised a lot of questions and a lot of concerns. And one name has already been floating around by journalists, by podcasters. And it started as early as 6 a.m. this morning. And you know what that name is? The first name out of people's mouths was Bruce Pearl. It was Bruce Pearl this morning. People said, the first call, the only call I'd make is Bruce Pearl at Auburn. He's the only option. He's the only choice. UConn shouldn't think. Don't overthink this, UConn. That's what people have been saying. Call Bruce Pearl is the only one. He'll make the jump. He'll make the trip. He'll leave Auburn and move to Connecticut. And that's got people all riled up. And I have a lot to say about that. We'll get to that when we come back. Here, we'll take our first break in hour number one. I want to hear from you. What do you think about all of this? Are you concerned with Bruce Pearl leaving Auburn? Here we go again, right? Here's this conversation again. This time it's just a different school. Are you concerned with Bruce Pearl leaving Auburn? Give me a call. 334-321-1390. You can text me as well, 334-784-1067. I'll give you my thoughts on this and a whole lot more when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, this is the Thursday edition of On the Line. Talking the big news of the Los Angeles Lakers looking to Dan Hurley at UConn as their next head coach. We'll see if that does end up coming to fruition and coming true. If Dan Hurley does end up leaving UConn and going to Los Angeles. And as I mentioned before we went to break, people begin to play what is my favorite game most of the time, the what-if game. All right, well, what if Dan Hurley leaves UConn and goes to L.A.? What happens if he moves and makes the cross-country trek from Connecticut to California? Well, it's pretty simple. UConn's got to find a new head coach. And they got to go find one pretty darn quickly because in case you haven't looked at the calendar, it's the first week of June. Recruiting has been done. Transfer portal's been done. Everybody's pretty much wrapped up their teams and got their roster where they want it. Summer workouts have begun at most places. And so think about it from the UConn perspective one more time. If they lose their head coach right now, or if any big-name program were to lose their coach right now, that is a disastrous situation. And so people, when a big-time program is threatening to lose its coach or eventually does lose their coach, the question and the topic that everybody immediately jumps to is, all right, who's it going to be? Who's the next coach? Who do they go after? And people start pumping out lists, right? Oh, here's top five coaching candidates for so-and-so, and here's the betting odds for the next head coach at school X or whatever, right? That's how this thing works. That's how media roles. And in today's world of radio and podcasting and journalism and television and every other way, version of media, that has accelerated so much. And it didn't take long for people to really get fired up on this Thursday because the first name out of everybody's mouth was Bruce Pearl to be the next head coach at UConn. People said that he should have been the first name they called. Bruce Pearl should go to UConn. He's done everything he can at Auburn. He should be the, it just, he's from the North. It just makes sense, right? It just makes sense for Bruce Pearl to go to UConn is what they're saying. Does it though? Does it just make sense for Bruce Pearl to leave Auburn to be the next head coach at UConn? I have some thoughts about this, and it'll continue as we go through the show today. And again, I want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. You can call in on that number. You can also text me, 334-7878. Oh my goodness, I forgot the number. 334-321-1390 is the number to give me a call. 334-784-1067. There you go. You can text that number today. Does it make sense for Bruce Pearl to go to UConn? Because with what Bruce Pearl has done here, he's been here his 10 years now, right? Going in to double-digit seasons at Auburn. He has built what is possibly his best roster yet at Auburn. And there's been some good ones, and there's been better players here. But roster top to bottom, I think Bruce Pearl has an argument, and you can make the argument too, that this is the best roster that he's ever had at Auburn. He's also making a couple million dollars more at Auburn than he is at UConn, and he has it made at Auburn. Sure, we've ramped up the pressure on him a little bit, you the fan, and people like me who talk about it on a daily basis on a sports talk show, because he set an expectation here, right? Bruce Pearl set an expectation at Auburn that he was going to win and win championships and compete for championships. And Auburn's done all of those things. Auburn has competed for championships. Auburn has won SEC regular season and tournament championships. And they've consistently made the NCAA tournament. Now, fans have begun to get disappointed with the lack of success in the NCAA tournament since the Final Four. But all in all, Bruce has done a heck of a job. And a lot of things that people are talking about here is, does it make sense? And that's kind of where I'm going here, is does it make sense for Bruce Pearl to leave what he has here and go start fresh somewhere new? I just don't think it does. I don't think it makes sense for Bruce to leave, because I don't think he has more than 5 years of coaching left. I really don't. I think he's getting older. I think he's probably tired and worn down. He's been coaching forever. And do you really want to leave a place that you have expressed you love so much and that you built from nothing to national relevancy? Do you really want to leave and start over? And sure, you're not walking in, if you were to leave Auburn and go to UConn, about talking about Bruce Pearl, of course, you're not walking into what you did at Auburn. You're walking into a program that just won two national championships in a row. So no, you're not starting from the bottom, but you still have to start over. And with a program and an athletics department that does not have nearly the resources and the money and the support that you currently have at Auburn, I don't know if you want to step into that. As an older coach, as a seasoned veteran coach, I just don't know if taking that on is what Bruce Pearl would be interested in. Now, I don't know that. He very well could. I don't know him like that. And he very well may be interested in that. But it just doesn't seem like it would make a whole lot of sense to leave something that you have that's so good. And I'm not just talking about the program. I'm talking about this season in particular. This roster is ridiculously good. We've talked about that. We've talked about how this is an unbelievably good team. So why leave that? And not only why would you leave it, why would you leave it right now? The first week of June? Imagine leaving your program after convincing all these players to come here, after convincing the likes of Jani Broome to come back. Oh, yeah. Peace out. Heading to Connecticut. I don't know. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I've got more thoughts on that, and we'll get to it later on in the show. We're going to talk Auburn football. When we come back, there was a picture that Auburn posted today, and it's got fans all sorts of fired up in a good way. We'll talk about that when we come back. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. Text me as well, 334-784-1067. We're 30 minutes into hour number one.
On the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goertz. Give me a call, 334-321-1390, or text me on the line text box, 334-784-1067. Well, as we transition into some football things, we'll get back to basketball in a little bit later. And also an hour from now, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us. He will talk all things SEC with us here on the show as we do every Thursday. They've been a little bit since we've had him on with the craziness of last week and everything. So excited to get Chris back on the show. If you do not follow Auburn football on social media, first of all, you should. And they got people all sorts of excited today by posting a photo. Believe it originated on Auburn football's Twitter, their X page. And it's got people all sorts of excited. It's the Freeze Four, right? The Fab Four, whatever you want to call them. The four big-name receivers that Auburn brought in through this last recruiting class, which this is not an original statement by any means, so don't think that I'm trying to claim it as so, but I have been saying this and preaching this and screaming it from the mountaintops for a while. This is the best wide-receiving recruiting class that Auburn has ever brought in. Okay, it's a fact. It's true. It's the best receiving class that Auburn football has ever brought in. And I don't know if it's close. And the picture is the four newbies. It's the four new guys sitting together. Perry Thompson, Bryce Kane, Cam Coleman, and Malcolm Simmons. And they are wearing their uniforms. They're in full uniform, head to toe. No helmets, but they're all just sitting there together. One's on a box. You've got them in a chair. They're sitting on a stool. They're all holding footballs. And it's a tough photo, man. It is a super, super tough, awesome, bad you-know-what photo. Like, it is awesome to see. And what gets people excited about it is you just know they're going to be good. You just know that they're going to be good. And they are just going to make Auburn better. And in that receiving core, you have options. That's the thing that I continue to go back to in the receiving room. Is for the first time in what seems like a long, long time, Auburn has options. The offense has a choice of where they want to throw the football to. And that has not been the case for a while. It's always been, we've got one really good receiver or one pretty solid receiver. Yeah, there's a chance this guy could step up. Yeah, there's a chance you could count on this guy, but it never happens. And it hasn't happened for a long time. But that's not the case anymore. You have a group of players, a group of receivers that this team has never seen. And those are just the ones that came in through the high school ranks, right? You're talking about a Bryce Kane, a Cam Coleman, a Perry Thompson type of guy. Malcolm, those types of players that came in through the high school ranks, not to mention the receivers that you brought in through the transfer portal. A guy that Uncle T-Bone brought up yesterday, Sam Jackson from California. Right? Those are guys that are excited too. And then a Penn State transfer, their number one receiver. Right? You bring him in through the portal. And then you have guys who are returning for another year. A guy that I've continued to hype up, Caleb Burton, the Ohio State transfer, who's coming in. Who was here last year, of course, but is here for another year. You still have Camden Brown. And then you look in the tight end room, And I think Rivaldo Fairweather is going to have a really good year. Hey, I've heard so many good things about number 13. I think he's poised for a really big season. Now, the thing that's going to hurt him a little bit is the fact that there are a bunch of brand new toys to play with in the receiver room. But you can now use Rivaldo as a true tight end. And as a senior, he's got something to prove. He's got a little bit more of an edge to him this year. You can see the work that he's putting in. I'm hearing so many things that he's just anxious isn't the word, but he's just so ready, right? He's so ready to get back on the field and prove that he can be one of the main go-to targets for whoever the starting quarterback's going to be, and more importantly, one of the main go-to guys for Hugh Freeze on the offense. That's what Rivaldo Fairweather's going to bring you. And as a guy who's 6'4", 250, you can use him in some unique situations. Because as awesome as Cam Coleman is, on the official roster, he's listed as 188 pounds. There's a difference in 250 and 188, ladies and gentlemen. Bryce Kane is 5'10", 153. He's a buck 50. 160 if his socks are wet, right? He's a speedy type of guy. But these are all your receivers. Fairweather's your tight end. But you get to use him, and you get to have him in your back pocket for when you need him. Those third down, just tough slants where they just go out and sit, right? Or you can use him in the red zone. You can use him on the goal line. You can use him in different situations and pick plays and decoys and all these certain things that I think Rivaldo Fairweather is going to be really a good piece to your offense. But it's always going to come back to this receiver's room. Can Camden Brown be a guy that becomes what we all thought he was going to be? Right? I still believe that Caleb Burton is a very underrated player, 5'11", 173 on the official roster, a guy that when he came here from Ohio State, we continued to say he's going to be a good player. If you were in the receiver room at the Ohio State, you are doing something right. A program that has put, with Alabama, the most receivers in the NFL. Right? They are in competition, them and probably LSU, as wide receiver U. And that's where Caleb Burton came from. And I hope that he can break through and find himself in this rotation. And more transfers. I mean, you look up and down this thing, and you can close your eyes and pick a random name out of there, and you could have something good to say about him. I just don't know if we've had that in the past. I don't think we've had, me personally anyway, and you may feel different, I haven't had this much confidence, this much excitement, this much anticipation. I think that's a good word for it, don't you? I think anticipation is a good word for what how I feel about this receivers group. And I can't wait to get there and see them in fall practice, right? Those couple of weeks leading up in the very, you know, in the media viewing windows that they allow us to have, and we're thankful for that. Over at Auburn Football, and look, Hugh Freeze has given us more than most. I haven't been in this town covering it as long as a lot of other people, but I can promise you that Hugh Freeze gives us more than most when it comes to allowing the media to be a part of it, and we're, again, very, very thankful for that. I'm excited to get to see these guys and just see what the summer has done to them, because we've seen a lot of them, what they looked like in the spring, A-Day, but some of these guys weren't here. Perry Thompson is the big one. He wasn't here during the spring. He just got here. So what's he going to look like? Is he going to be quick? Is he going to be on time? Is he going to be bigger? Is he going to have more size? Is he going to be confident? Those are things you have to look for. How's his footwork? Does he get off the line? Can he get around his defender? Can he block when he's supposed to? All those things go into playing receiver. It's not just about going out and catching the football. You've got to play your position. And I know there's a lot of you that listen to this show. I know we got football guys out there. You know what I'm talking about. You have to be able to play your position. But then, after all of that is taken care of, then yeah, it is about going out and catching the football. Can you get open? Can you run the right routes? How's the timing of the quarterbacks? Yes, plural. Because You just never know what's going to happen. We expect it to be Peyton Thorne, sure. Doesn't mean it's going to be. Doesn't mean Peyton Thorne's going to be the quarterback from game one all the way through the Iron Bowl. He could be replaced. God forbid he gets hurt. Anything could happen. So how does it look with all the receivers and a couple of the quarterbacks through fall and into those first few games? And, you know, you bring in a transfer from Penn State who I believe is going to be an easy go-to guy early. I think he's a guy that you can rely on if you are. We'll talk like Peyton Thorne is the starter because we most of us believe that will be the case. He's somebody that if you can get on a page and on the same page with him early, right, you're not having to worry about whether he can get off the line or he can get open or anything like that. You can trust a guy like that. I feel that in those first few games, Alabama, A&M, Cal, and New Mexico, and even Arkansas, really, when you need it, throw it to him. And then, hopefully, in those games, when you're up by 30 or 40, all right, let's work on some things. All right, Cam, go deep, right? Playing in the backyard. All right, everybody's going to run these routes. You take off and get open, and I'm going to throw you a 50-50 ball. Let's see how it goes. Perry, same thing. We're going to throw you a fade route back corner of the end zone. Go up and get it. Show me what you got. That's what you get to do in those first couple of games, which is why the schedule's really exciting, too, with all of these new fancy players that you have, because you're going to have to figure out just what you have and how you can play them all at some point, because you can't line all these guys out there, right? Bryce Kane, Cam Coleman, Burton, Jackson, Lewis. They can't all be out there. Thompson, I mean, they can't all play at the same time. And you're going to have to find who works in what situations and what's going to be best for you. But man, in terms of you, the fan, from the folks I hear on this radio station, on my show in particular, and then the station as a whole, from the folks that I talk to in town, to the people I see on social media and boards and websites and everything else, how could you not be excited about the receiving room? And just from a picture today on social media, heck, it got me to talk about it for 15 minutes. And I've seen so many of you just going insane because of the anticipation for this room. And here's something else that I feel like we have to address in terms of Auburn sports. The good news here is this is not just one player. What if it was just Cam Coleman? What if Perry Thompson and Bryce Kane and Malcolm Simmons and all these guys, what if none of those other ones decided to come here? Of those four, right, from that picture, what if it was just one of them? Pick any of them, doesn't matter. What if it was just Perry Thompson? Sure, we'd be excited. We'd be thrilled, especially given what we've seen over the past couple of years. But you know what happens when there's just one big player like that that gets hyped up all offseason and has so many high expectations going into the season. You know what that leads to, don't you? You just thought about it. It leads to a high, high flop percentage. It leads to a high bust percentage. Because when the pressure is on just one guy and when he's expected to be the man, that gets to people. That gets to them. Whether they think about it or not, whether they know it or not, it gets to them. Defenses adjust. Defenses are ready. And eventually, they break down. The player will break down. And I'm not just talking receiver. I'm talking any position. Quarterback, running back, receiver, linebacker, anything. When it's one man that's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, the bust percentage goes way up, and that player never living up to the hype tends to happen a lot more than that player actually becoming what they were expected to be. But the good news is, and I think this may be the biggest factor of them all, the good news is Auburn in the receivers room doesn't just have one. They don't have just two. They don't have just three. They don't have just four. They've got six or seven, eight. that the fans are excited about, that I think Hugh Freeze and this offense are excited about, that I am excited about. You've got the four new guys, plus your returnees, plus your transfer portal players. And so, guess what? I hate to break it to you, but out of all those players, somebody's not going to be good. Somebody's not going to live up to the hype and the expectation. Who's it going to be? I don't know. We can start taking bets right now. Somebody's not going to be as good as we think they are. But guess what? That's okay. That's okay. That's reality. But Auburn's got more people to make up for that. Whereas in the past, when that one player didn't live up to what they were supposed to be, Auburn was screwed. They were in a bad spot. That doesn't happen. That should not happen this year. The chances of eight players all falling off and being not as good and being terrible, that the odds of that happening are a heck of a lot less than just one player not living up to what they were supposed to be, to what people like myself talked them up to be. So Auburn's in a really good spot, because if one doesn't work out, cool, we got another one. You don't work out? All right, let's try this guy. Process of elimination, trial and error. Somebody's going to be good. Multiple of these somebodies are going to be good. And that's a position that Auburn has not been in a long, long time. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Phone lines are open again, 334-321-1390. You can text me, 334-784-1067. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I got a few more minutes before we take our or get to the top of the hour break. Again, coming up in hour number two, still taking your phone calls, taking your text as well. You can call in 334-321-1390. Text us at 334-784-1067. And later on in hour number two, we will have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, your daily podcast on all things Southeastern Conference. He will be joining us coming up at about 3:30, we'll talk to him about everything going on in the SEC. So looking forward to having him on. Got a few minutes here and just went some news that broke about 10 or 15 minutes ago during my last segment. Auburn football, they continue to do it, man. Hugh Freeze gets another one, another recruiting win for the Tigers. They land the commitment of another defensive star. It is Donovan Starr. No pun intended there. Donovan Starr, the four-star corner, has committed to play for Hugh Freeze and Auburn. He is in the 2025 class, a four-star player listed at almost 6 foot, 5 foot and 11 and a half. So, I mean, you may as well just say 6 foot, right? And 175 pounds. He is from the state of Tennessee, the number 14 overall player in the state of Tennessee. He's ranked as the number 35 corner at his position, and that just depends on where you look. Again, he's hanging around in there. Some have him 35, 247. They have him as the number 27 cornerback and the number 6 player from the state of Tennessee. He was originally offered by Wesley McGriff, and that's a big reason why he decided to commit to Auburn. He was just blown away, really, really enjoyed his visit at Auburn and committed today. And so a four-star corner has committed to play for Auburn. And listen to these quotes that he has. He says, quote, Coach Crime is a great dude. Talking Crime Dog, of course. He says, quote, he's been showing constant love, just being with him the whole time and getting to learn more from him and them taking care of me and my family. That sticks out to me a lot. Really, I just set this visit up a week or two ago. He told me that I can come whenever I want. Some schools told me I can't come on a midweek, but he told me I'm a priority. So he said you can come whenever you want to. And that's a big, big deal, man. I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And not him. I'm saying the fact that there are schools that say, oh, no, you can't come in the middle of the week. We're not ready. We don't do that. Auburn said, we don't care. You want to come and visit Auburn? by all means, we'll stop whatever we're doing because you are a priority for us, Mr. Starr, and you can come take a visit here. He did on Thursday, that's today, and bam, there you go, and has committed. He already visited Clemson, and according to 247, our friends over there at Auburn Undercover, he was also going to be visiting Illinois, Missouri, and possibly Tennessee. Well, not anymore. He's committed to Auburn. The Tigers pick up a 2025 commit four-star corner. I'll tell you more about him in hour number two, but the class keeps on rising, and the Tigers continue to win in the recruiting ranks. We'll have more of that coming up in hour number two. More of my thoughts on the possibility and all the stir-up that people have been talking about when it comes to Bruce Pearl and the possibility of him going to UConn, and then Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. All that coming up in hour number two.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, you can go back and listen to the podcast after the show today. I'll have that posted for you wherever you get your podcast, or easiest way to find it, just check us out at ESPNAU.com. That's our station website. You'll find all of our podcasts there and a lot of other great things, so be sure you check that out, ESPNAU.com. Talked about the big storyline in sports today. Dan Hurley and the Los Angeles Lakers are, I guess, not really in talks. I don't know. I mean, apparently, according to Woj and Adrian Wojnarowski from the NBA, who is the insider for the NBA, just had a quote on ESPN saying the Lakers have Dan Hurley's interest right now. He is at least paying attention, and we'll see where that goes. I have some more comments on that and how it relates to Auburn. We'll get to that here in hour number two, but kind of broke all that down for you in the first hour. Also, talked a little Auburn football with the receivers room after Auburn football posted what was a awesome photo earlier today of that new shiny receivers room. And so had a lot of fun with that. And then we'll get to some more of this in the second hour as well. As we were exiting the first hour, Auburn football picked up another recruiting commit in the 2025 class, a corner from the state of Tennessee. So all of that was in a jam-packed first hour. This second hour, each and every day here during On the Line, our new second hour sponsor is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. They bring you the second hour each and every day of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open. You can give me a call, 334-321-1390. You can call in, be on the show. I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on anything that we're talking about today or anything else that I'm not talking about that you want to bring up. You're more than welcome to hit me up on the phone lines, or you can send me a text on our new On the Line text box, and that number is 334-784-1067. Well, I talked about this in the first hour, and I'll get to some more of the breaking, and I guess more of the news of the Dan Hurley thing and the Bruce Pearl thing. But I want to get back to this commit really quick for Auburn football. Donovan Starr, the four-star corner that has committed to Hugh Freeze and the Tigers in this 2025 class. He is a four-star, okay? A chance to become a five-star, but I don't know. I don't know if he'll quite get to that point, but a four-star out of Brentwood, Tennessee, listed at 5'11.5". So basically with cleats on, he's 6 foot, especially with a helmet on. So we'll just say he's 6 foot. Just give him the benefit of the doubt. Weighing in at 175, according to 247. The four-star corner out of the state of Tennessee was interested in teams like Florida. Duke was in there. Tennessee, Illinois, Missouri, Clemson. Those teams were all in it for Donovan Starr. And he had some really good things to say about his visit here today for Auburn football. And he had Auburn as the leader. He had Auburn at the top. He was interested in what Hugh Freeze and, more importantly, Wesley McGriff had to say and had to offer for him. And his comment, I read you this at the end of the first hour, go back to the exact sentence. He says, "Really, I just set this visit up a week or two ago." He told me, talking about Wesley McGriff, he told me that I can come whenever I want. Some schools told me I can't come on a midweek, but he told me I'm a priority. So he said, you can come whenever you want to. And that is, I think that that sentence alone, I think just sums up what Auburn football is really trying to do in the high school recruiting ranks. And I think that's what is the difference right now for Auburn football compared to what they used to do and compared to everybody else. I mean, doesn't that sound like something a Brian Harsin would say back then? Would be like, no, you're not coming on a visit on a Thursday. No, we don't do that. You can come in on a Saturday like everybody else. Doesn't that sound like something they would say, or a former coach would say, or other programs might say? This program, no, they don't care. You want to come? You can visit on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock if you want to. Come over and have a late night snack with me and my family. That's what this Auburn staff is doing. And that extra mile, that extra priority for a guy like Donovan Starr is what landed you the commitment of a really talented player out of the state of Tennessee. A guy that the Vols were interested in, where he was potentially going to be taking a visit to. He had already visited Clemson and had Tennessee possibly on the list. Missouri and Illinois were on the list. And he said, I'm good. I took a visit to Auburn, and they told me what I needed to hear. And here's some more quotes that he had. He said, really, he says, quote, really just the people. The people here are great. They show a lot of love. I was with Keontae a lot. That's a great guy to be with if you're a corner coming in. He was a great role model, and he told me a lot of things that I learned a lot from him. Just being around him and some of the players, seeing how they interact with each other, that meant a lot to me. He says, quote, about Hugh Freeze, he's a great dude too. Just meeting him for the first time, that was cool. Getting to talk to him, and he talked to my family. Like, you just landed a player, a four-star corner that Hugh Freeze hadn't even officially met yet. He had talked to him and had wanted him to be here on campus. Wesley McGriff was the main point of contact for this kid. But that's pretty good. That's pretty good. The fact that you just met your head coach for the first time and you're ready to commit right then and there because of everything else that the assistants have done. And I think it's important to highlight that where it's not all about the head coach. This is a prime example. This is a prime example of that. Hugh Freeze is a fantastic recruiter. We know that. He alone has won numerous battles. But this is a perfect example to highlight where you have to have good recruiters on your staff. Your position coaches cannot just be position coaches. They have to be recruiters. And they have to be hardcore recruiters. And guess who is? Crime Dog himself, Wesley McGriff. Yeah, he's a recruiter, man. and he just single-handedly took a player out of the state of Tennessee, where they're saying he's a top 10, top 15 player in the state of Tennessee. You went up north and took a player from that state, and he's now going to be playing at Auburn. He joins the 2025 class. He is the 12th commitment of that class. And Auburn is still hanging out in the top 10 of the 2025 class again. Donovan Starr playing a corner. He's 5'11 and a half, 175 pounds out of the state of Tennessee. I believe this is updated. I'm looking at 247 as of right now, and Auburn is in the top 10. They are ninth. They are squeezed in between. How about this? In 2025, Auburn's rating, and I'm looking at 247, they are squeezed in between Alabama at 8 and Georgia at 10. How about that? How about that? And you look at the top 10, again, 247, you can look on whichever one you want to. It has Notre Dame at 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson at 3. Now get this. Oklahoma 4, USC 5, LSU 6, A&M 7, Bama at 8, Auburn at 9, and Georgia at 10. There's a lot of SEC schools in there, six of the top 10, and Auburn's still hanging around, still chugging away, and there's a lot of big names that have yet to commit. I mean, we're still talking 2025 where Auburn's got 12 kids. They've got almost some of the most in that top 10. I don't know what the heck Notre Dame's selling, but they got 21 kids committed. That's ridiculous. But they just keep chugging away. They keep knocking guys off the list. They keep checking them off. And you heard what Donovan Starr had to say. They made me a priority. And that's what's important here. Brian Harsin didn't make anybody a priority. Gus Malzahn and his staff had very few guys that they truly made a priority. And if you weren't a five-star athlete, they didn't make you a priority. Well, you go and get one of the best players in Tennessee, and Auburn gets him another one. So that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. So shout out to Auburn and the football team, the football staff. They go out and get a big, big player. On the flip side, on basketball, during the break, I was actually looking through social media, and Auburn basketball actually posted a video and some pictures of their final addition, Miles Kelly from Georgia Tech, the transfer who is officially on campus. He's here, right? A guy that they have added to the roster, the final spot that they wanted to fill. They went and got a shooter in the transfer portal from Georgia Tech. And if you remember, I know we talked about him, but it kind of got brushed to the side with so many other things going on and not having the ability to talk about him last week. I wanted to circle back to this. And the photos of him arriving on campus were a big deal to me. This is a guy that at Georgia Tech last year was their leading scorer, okay, in the ACC. He was an honorable mention on the All-ACC team. He averaged 14 points a game, second on the team in rebounding at 5.5, with a career-high 36 points at Louisville this past season. A guy that can shoot extremely well, okay? In his 3 years at Georgia Tech, he shot 35% from the three-point line and almost 79% at the free throw line. That's pretty good. I'll take 35% from downtown, and I'll take 79% from the line. As a guard, 80's cool. 80's fine. I'd like to see it a little bit higher, but that's okay. That's all right. 35% from three is what Auburn was looking for. That's the last sort of piece that Auburn needed to fill out this roster. At 6'6", 180 pounds, the kid is massive. He's a massive kid. And this is what the Tigers were looking for. He was a four-star coming out of Atlanta when he was a high school kid from the state of Georgia. And now, in his senior year, he played in Virginia, but he's mainly from Georgia. And he's a superstar. He's a really good kid, and he's a really good player. And he's somebody that Auburn somewhat stole. I mean, he was kind of a diamond in the rough, if you will. A guy that was testing the NBA waters, decided not to do it, and transferred to Auburn. And so now you go and get the leading scorer off of another Power 5 team in college basketball, and you bring him in just to be a rotation piece. That's pretty special. That's pretty special. And that leads me into what we'll talk about after the break. You bring in this guy, and if you go look at the photos, I saw it on Auburn Basketball's Instagram page. It's pictures of him arriving out front of Neville Arena with all of the coaches, okay? All of them. Bruce Pearl, Stephen Pearl, everybody. The coaches are there, and they look very excited to see him. Hugging, yeah, clapping, dapping up, everything. They're doing everything. The whole staff is there. And so that leads me into what a lot of people are talking about today. Could Bruce Pearl leave and take the UConn job? Seeing photos like this really just convinced me otherwise. I have some more thoughts on this. I gave you some in the first hour. I want to get to some more in this second hour, too. I'll have that for you when we come back. I want to hear from you, your thoughts on all of this. Football recruiting, basketball, the chances of Bruce Pearl leaving for UConn if Dan Hurley does take the LA job, which apparently they have his interest. They have his full attention right now, is what Woj is saying on ESPN. We'll talk about that when we come back. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. You can also text me on the line text box at 334-784-1067. More basketball talk before Chris Gordy will join us. That's all coming up after this here on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
So we go back to the topic of the day, which was news that broke way early this morning on ESPN from Woj and then all the other NBA insiders. This story that the Los Angeles Lakers are in hot pursuit of Dan Hurley, the head coach at UConn. And they were reportedly putting together an offer that could not be refused, couldn't be turned down, that Dan Hurley would have to accept almost, is what it read like. And, you know, I had my thoughts on this in the first hour on Dan Hurley going to LA, going from the college game to the NBA. We've seen it happen numerous times, and sometimes it's worked and sometimes it's not. But the thing that comes up with a big-time program is, okay, if that coach leaves or when that coach leaves, who's next? Who would UConn go after? And this isn't really a list that we have had to put together because Dan Hurley has shut this down numerous times for other college basketball programs, Kentucky being the latest. And nobody really put together a true list of coaching candidates for UConn because why in the world would Dan Hurley leave? He's got it made at UConn. He's back-to-back national champion. The expectations should be lifted at this point. I mean, you can't do any better than what he's doing right now, so the fans should be very, very thankful for what he has done there. And if you get upset from this point on, you're just doing yourself a disservice and you need to go get yourself checked out. But if Dan Hurley were to leave, who would be next? And you've got people all over the place with one name in their minds, one name in their mouths, one name that they've put out there to the world. And that name, of course, was Bruce Pearl. And throughout this day, and as it's gone on, I talked to Doug about this a little bit earlier. Does it make sense for Bruce Pearl to leave Auburn, to go to UConn? Those are two separate things, okay? Does it make sense for Bruce Pearl to leave Auburn? And then B, does it make sense for him to go to UConn? I know they would technically be linked, but those are two separate topics there. And I'm going to answer both of them right now. And I'll answer the second one before I answer the first one. Does it make sense for BP to go to UConn? Maybe. He's from the Northeast, right? From Massachusetts up there and is familiar with the area. And I think that Bruce Pearl could match the energy that Dan Hurley gave them. I think both of them are psychos on the sideline, which is awesome and gets the fan base fired up. And talks. Bruce talks a big game, but he backs it up. Dan Hurley does the same thing. They're very confident in their coaching abilities, which is a good thing. I say that as a good thing. That's not a bad thing, I promise. I think Bruce would fit that fan base very, very well. And that's a school that is a basketball school. And I think Bruce would thrive in that. I really do. But the point that I made earlier that I'm still going to defend is, at his age, Bruce Pearl, who I don't think has all that many more years of coaching left. I mean, the number I've put on it is 5. That's the number I have, is 5 in my head. Does it make sense for him at his age and his coaching years and all of that, his timeline, does it make sense to go to a program and restart? And no, he's not, and I said this earlier, he's not building from the ground up. You're taking over a program that just won back-to-back national titles. You're walking into a pretty good situation. But you personally, you're starting over. You have to go in and get all new players, learn all the new people, figure out the new money situation, and you're going through unprecedented times in college basketball at a new place. That's hard to do. And so, would it make sense for Bruce Pearl to just go to UConn? I could see it. I could make the argument for that. But on the other side, the other question, does it make sense for Bruce Pearl to leave Auburn? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense for him to leave Auburn. And I don't understand why this has continued to be a name that people go after. This happened with Louisville. It happened with Kentucky. And now it's happening with UConn. I just don't understand. Like, Bruce is a fantastic coach. He's a great coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. But why is he the go-to for all these different schools? I guess they are. I guess these schools are just that threatened by Auburn and Bruce Pearl. That's what it comes off as to me. It's like, dang, Auburn's so good. Let's get him out of there. He's done a great job there. Imagine what he can do here. Got a text just now, and it says, Bruce Pearl will retire at Auburn. He is teeing his son up to take over when he retires. He says, you could take that to the bank. And I feel like he's right. I mean, I think that Auburn is the place that he wants to be. I agree with that. I agree that Auburn is a place that Bruce Pearl will retire, because I think he's been here long enough. Why would you go anywhere else? You built this. Everything that Auburn basketball is right now, Bruce Pearl built. And whether he does give it off to Steven or not, and that's been a big conversation for, I'd say, the last year and a half or so, that has really started to pick up a little steam and some momentum there, right? The fact that Steven, it would, quote, make sense for him to step in. I've told you my thoughts on it. I don't think that's the right decision for Auburn right now, but it could be in the future. And I think that's a question and a topic that you address when the time comes. But it just doesn't make sense for Bruce Pearl to leave Auburn, where he is beloved, where he is very successful, where I think he has his best roster yet at Auburn, currently, right now. And he's making more money at Auburn than probably any other program in the country would pay him. He's one of the highest paid coaches in the country. So why would he leave? I just don't think he will. And at some point, when he continues to turn these jobs down and he doesn't even address them or even consider these jobs, eventually his name will quit coming up. Now, he never really comes out publicly and says, oh, I'm not going to Kentucky or I'm not going to UConn or whatever. But he doesn't have to do that. He's not required to do that. And what really solidifies it for me is the fact that Auburn got Miles from Georgia Tech, and the pictures were posted today of him showing up here on campus, and he's addressed by the entire staff, and first by Bruce Pearl. You don't go get a guy like that if you plan on leaving. You don't go and get some of the biggest names in high school basketball if you plan on leaving. You don't convince guys like Chaney Johnson and Chad Baker Mazzara and Denver Jones and Jani Broome to come back if you plan on leaving. You don't go get a J.P. Pegues if you plan on leaving. Now, I know that this UConn news just broke today. And it's not even, there's not even official news yet. This is just the Lakers going after Dan Hurley and the possibility of Hurley no longer being in Connecticut. And you see how this train has just started and the snowball effect has taken over. Bruce isn't going anywhere. We've had this discussion numerous times with a handful of programs. He's not leaving. Bruce isn't going anywhere. And I am with him. I'm with our listener. Bruce will retire at Auburn. Because why would you not? It just makes sense. All right, we got to get to our bottom of the hour break. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, the daily Southeastern Conference podcast. He'll join us when we come back. So many things to catch up with him. He'll be joining us after this.
With Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And man, I'm so excited to get to the phone lines and get this guy back on the show. It's been a little bit since we've had him on. It's been, if you've been listening, you know it's been kind of crazy. Last week was a disaster, but we believe everything is back up and running. And man, we appreciate this guy hanging around and joining us again on this Thursday afternoon. It is Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, great to hear from you, my man. How are things over there?
Man, it's been crazy. I had a tweet that I was ready to tweet out a couple days ago, and I forgot to do it. So it was sitting in my draft. So I wake up this morning and I see it's in my draft still. So I hit send, and all it was the hot take that Oklahoma is going for their fourth straight championship in softball tonight, and they have the luxury of playing in a softball stadium in Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
which for those that don't know, is 30 minutes from Norman, Oklahoma. It's literally in their own backyard. And all I said was, you know, as Oklahoma continues to win championship after championship after championship, do we consider maybe we rotate venues here? Maybe we move this thing around as they pack 90 to 95% of Oklahoma fans into the stadium, and they're loud and raucous and all that. And, man, I've just been getting obliterated by Oklahoma fans all day in my mentions saying, you're an idiot, this is a clown take. I mean, just absolute crazy. And I ventured this. I mean, people – had a few guys say, well, what about when LSU's won the titles in New Orleans? I said, that's great. And absolutely, LSU had the home field advantage when they've done that. But imagine this. If we played the college football championship in New Orleans five straight years and LSU won all five of those, wouldn't other fan bases be saying, hey, this is a little bit home field cooking here. Maybe we move the venue. Like, I don't understand why that should be considered the hottest take ever.
In 8 hours, I'm looking at this tweet right now on X, right? In 8 hours, it has 52 likes, 148 retweets, and 536 comments with 280,000 people seeing your tweet. Congratulations, man. You've become Twitter famous.
Yeah, it's... I mean, look, I'm all for banter and all this. And here's the problem with the response is Oklahoma fans are all jumping on me saying, yeah, it couldn't be. We're just good at softball. And all my response to them is, yes, you are. Like, two things can be true at once.
Correct.
You can be awesome and badass at softball and win four straight titles and also have the luxury of we have home field advantage and the other opposing team feels like they're playing – at Oklahoma because they're dominating the attendance and being loud and all that. So I just think it's worth a discussion. And, you know, it's weird. Softball and baseball are the only two sports we play in Oklahoma City and Omaha every year. And you know, a lot of them are jumping on, well, what if Nebraska was playing every year? I said, yes, use that scenario. Imagine if Nebraska went to four straight series and won four straight titles and had 90% of the fans in the stands. I think we'd all be pushing for, hey, we need to get this thing out of Omaha. Nebraska's just taking hold of this and dominating it.
I would expect nothing less from you, Chris, for a team in Oklahoma that has not even officially become a part of the SEC yet, and you've already made their fan base mad. I'm so proud of you.
Well, and I've had to take some unfortunate digs today. I mean, I had one guy who tell me, tell me you haven't watched Oklahoma. I said, hey, honestly, we really haven't paid much attention to Oklahoma since Lincoln Riley left. So, yeah, we haven't really been paying attention to you. So I've had to take some... I'm still saving a Porter Moser take in the arsenal if I got to pull that one. But, like, let's relax, Oklahoma. Nobody's saying your softball team's not good. You're awesome. But also it speaks to where Oklahoma athletics are now, that they're now a softball school. Like, I thought this was a once proud, football program. Now they're just a softball school.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. When softball is your best sport, I mean, I guess that's all you get to fall back on if you're Oklahoma. Well, I had not seen that, and that is, I'm not going to lie, I'm reading through some of these, and they're hilarious. So I know what I'm going to do tonight. Go home and just read through the 500 and something comments on your post on social media. Well, congratulations for that, for losing a fan base in about 8 hours that hasn't even become a part of the league yet. But
well,
I'm sure.
The funny part is I've picked up about 200 new Twitter followers today.
Hey, that's great.
They must like it.
Hey, tell them to tune in Locked On SEC, right, wherever they get their podcasts, and on YouTube. You're going to have a lot more people and views on YouTube in the weeks to come. Well, it's been a little bit since we've talked to you, Chris, so update us on what's going on around the SEC. I know we've talked so much with recruiting, and now that basketball rosters are finalized and those practices are underway, we'll get to baseball super regionals near the end of our conversation. But, man, football season, Auburn football and most SEC teams about 86 days away, Chris.
Yeah, it's this is what I like to call, this is talking season now. I mean, we're full on into it. I got my Lindy's and Athlon, season preview guides in the mail this week. So we are off and running. When ESPN's putting out their FPI rankings, and another ESPN guy is doing his list of tiers of quarterbacks. And by the way, not very complimentary of Peyton Thorne on that list. So yeah, this is talking season. This is where we start to see a lot of the odds. We start to see more and more over-under win totals. Here are my post-spring, SEC power rankings. We're starting to see all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's talking season, but it's also, it's been pretty busy recruiting. I've seen a lot of schools hosting recruits last weekend and this weekend. And, Georgia just got a big-time linebacker commit yesterday. Alabama. It's funny, just to, for your Auburn fans in the audience, I know we'll love this one, but how far Alabama has come crashing down when it comes to recruiting and everything else. They were throwing a parade that they flipped a quarterback commit, Keelan Russell, away from SMU to Alabama. I mean, the kid's like a three-star in one ranking, a four-star in another, but like, this is the same program that just had Julian Sand, the number one quarterback, coming in under Nick Saban, and then, of course, he flipped to Ohio State, but like, how far have you come crashing back down where you're throwing parades for flipping an SMU quarterback recruit? And then I'm seeing all the Alabama fans saying, oh, yeah, he's going to help recruit a lot of kids for this class. And I'm going, since when has Alabama ever needed a kid to help recruit? Like, it's always recruited itself. So what a fall of the tide have come from Nick Saban, and we'll see what happens on the football field.
Yeah, well, Auburn picked up a commit today, a cornerback in 2025 out of the state of Tennessee. And looking at the 247 rankings right now, there are six teams in the top 10 from the SEC: Oklahoma at 4, LSU at 6, A&M 7, Bama at 8, Auburn 9, and Georgia 10. I mean, the SEC continues to do its thing, and it's still just June for the 2025 class.
Yeah, and it's just what makes this conference so difficult, and what's going to make it so difficult with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. It's not going to get any easier. And for a while there, it was just Nick Saban dominating at Alabama and having the best. He could literally handpick anybody he wanted, five star from any state across the country, Nick Saban could get. And I think Alabama's starting to come to realization that that's not going to happen anymore. Kirby seems to be kind of in that spot right now with Georgia, that they could handpick any kid they want. But again, NIL is changing the landscape when, Florida and Auburn and whoever can go get anybody they want. You know, I think it's just gonna make the SEC that much more difficult and that much more, you know, parity is the word we like to use, where, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And I think, you know, it's gonna get to a point where going 9-3 in the SEC, I think, is gonna be a badge of honor here real soon.
Yeah, and that seems to be where it's going. And you mentioned the FPI a little bit earlier, and you know that's been released with all the numbers and has all the win-loss projections and the percentages of, you know, winning the conference and making the playoff and winning the national championship and all of that. And some people were getting really fired up about their teams and their win-loss projection. I mean, I think it's got Auburn going 7-5. I think that's low, but some teams are projected to have a really good shot at still making an expanded college football playoff, and that's been a big conversation, which we thought there were going to be some big conversations at the SEC spring meetings last week, and that just didn't really happen.
Yeah, I think everything with the SEC, just on like future expansion and all that, is just stand pat. Like, we're fine where we are. We're already the most dominant conference, and we're adding two more huge brands. You know, we know we're not going to change, you know, scheduling is set for the next two seasons, so I think that they're, you know, as far as that goes, they kind of said, we're just going to stand pat and we'll address that stuff down the road in the future. But yeah, to go back to Auburn real quick, you know, Bet Online, they put out their updated win totals today, and there was a little bit of change. They went down on a couple of win totals and went up on a couple. And I think Auburn is at 7.5 now. So that means, you know, if you think Auburn's going to go 7-5, that's now betting the under. Whereas if you want to be super optimistic and say 8-4, that's now the over for Auburn. So, you know, just kind of interesting there. But, yeah, they've come down on a couple. I mean, Arkansas and Florida, you know, at like 4 or 4.5. It just seems really, really low for some.
Speaking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, a daily podcast, 30 minutes a day on the Southeastern Conference. He joins us every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. As we flip to basketball, the story of the day, I know you know what I'm talking about here, the fact that the Lakers in Los Angeles have been pursuing and actively pursuing Dan Hurley and UConn. I know not one of those things has to do with the SEC, but the name that continues to come out of people's mouths on who could replace Dan Hurley is, of course, Bruce Pearl in Auburn. Here we go again. Can you debunk this real quick? I've already done it, but I need somebody like you to come in here and just tell the fans it ain't happening.
Yeah, I would put that at a very low percentage. You know, money talks, so, you know, you never say never, but I don't think so. I mean, I would say more likely, like, think of Michigan. Like, when we started talking last year, towards the end of last year, the Michigan job's going to open up and Jim Harbaugh may jump back to the NFL. You know, people were telling me, oh, it's going to be one of those sexy jobs. And then what do? They just hire with him. You know, they promote Sharon Moore. So I think more often than not, teams are just, you know, if something like this happens this late in the game, you know, they'll make their phone calls. They'll say, hey, what, you know, Bruce Pearl, would you want to come here? All that kind of stuff. But I think at the end of the day, they'll probably end up promoting within. I mean, just bring up a guy on the staff, or, you know, is there another UConn alum that can come back and keep this train rolling? I think of where we are in June already, it would be a shock for them to land a big name guy, particularly an SEC guy. I mean, I saw them putting out Nate Oates and all this other stuff, and it's like, why would Nate Oates leave what he already has at Alabama? And why would Bruce Pearl leave with what he's built at Auburn and the recruits and the transfers he's got coming in? I flip it the other way. This could be a good thing for Auburn. You know, half those kids are going to hit the portal the minute Dan Hurley leaves. So if I'm Bruce Pearl, I get on the phone with some of these kids and say, hey, let's get you down to Auburn.
Yeah, it's going to be a breeding ground in UConn if Dan Hurley does leave. I mean, every big-name team and coach in the country is going to be in their inbox and just trying to get the talent that Dan Hurley has brought back to UConn. And I'm with you. I mean, it would be really tough for me personally if I was a head coach like Bruce Pearl, even if a coach or a program like UConn comes calling. I mean, I just don't think I could pull the trigger. I wouldn't be able to go and leave my kids high and dry in the first week of June when practices and workouts just began.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. I mean, there is a world where Dan Hurley comes out in a few days and says, thanks, but no thanks, I'm staying put at UConn. But I just love the hypocrisy. And it's always hypocrisy when it comes to coaches and coaching searches. But how does Dan Hurley say, a few weeks ago, I have zero interest in the Kentucky job, I'm completely happy where I am, I mean, it's not just me, but my wife. You got to talk my wife to get it out of Stores, Connecticut. And, hey, there's no amount of money that would get me to Lexington, Kentucky. And yet here we are a few weeks later, and, you know, it's like, yeah, I know I said that was my dream job and all, but, hey, it's the Lakers. You know, it's just funny how the hypocrisy comes around where it's like, I'm never leaving. Wait, how much do they want to pay me? Okay, I might leave.
Seems like that's how the world goes nowadays, Chris. I think you know that as well. As we're talking with Chris Gordy, he's the host of Locked On SEC. You can find it wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Just search Locked On SEC. Before we let you go, Baseball Super Regionals will get going tomorrow, and you've got a handful of SEC teams in there, Chris, a couple that we expected to be there, some that probably should be there that aren't, and some that are there that I don't think many people had going. Your breakdown of what's been going on in the NCAA baseball tournament.
Yeah, I thought LSU was going to drive join the bunch. They were two outs away from, you know, beating North Carolina, and then they were going to come back and host a super regional against West Virginia this weekend, but unfortunately they fell short. But I like all the big dogs. I like all the teams that are up near the top. I mean, whether it's, you know, Tennessee, Texas A&M, you know, Kentucky, I think they all have great draws. How about this for Kentucky? Nick Mangione, SEC Coach of the Year, got Kentucky to just their second Super Regional ever last year, and they lost at LSU. And we know LSU with Paul Skeens, they went on to win the national championship. But this weekend, they're hosting their first regional, their first Super Regional ever in Lexington. Like,
yeah.
I think they're going to show up and show out. That fan base is going to be loud and proud, I think Kentucky's got a great chance to punch their ticket. I think, you know, Tennessee and you know, as much as we want to hate on them, and a lot of people hate Tony Vitello, like, they're a team on a mission. And I know there's been that stat that the number one team has not won, you know, in Omaha since, like, the 90s. But I think this Tennessee team is – they're on a path, man. They're crushing home runs. They're getting good pitching. So I think Tennessee's going to punch their ticket. I think A&M, they have such a strong pitching staff. And then Wes Johnson, what he's done in just 1 year at Georgia to get back to host their first Super Regional since 2008, I think. Like, it's amazing what he's done in just 1 year turnaround. So, you know, I hate to go chalk, but I think all the SEC teams that are hosting this weekend are going to advance. And then the wild card is Florida. I mean, I think Clemson's a pretty damn good team from what I've seen. So it's going to be tough, but man, you got to do like Jack Caglione. I mean, you never know. I mean, he could be the wild card that throws a wrench in Clemson's plan. So, yeah, I think we'll have at least three, if not four, SEC teams in the field at Omaha.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. I like the prediction, and I think the SEC has to be proud with what they've put in there. Your thoughts on Arkansas quickly before I let you get out of here.
Yeah, man. I tweeted out to our buddy John Neighbors a few weeks ago. I said, if Dave Van Horn loses early in a home regional again, is he on the hot seat? And I had every Arkansas fan jump in my mention saying, absolutely not. The seat is it's cold, cold, cold. There's no hot seat here. And then yet I saw every Arkansas fan so angry over the weekend that it was an early round exit. And I get it. Like, he's a great coach, and he's put up tons of wins and all this, but always the bridesmaid, never the bride. When are you going to break through and win a title for Arkansas? I know they dropped that fly ball a couple years ago that would have won them a title, but I just look at Dave Van Horn and say, man, this is now back-to-back years of underachieving when you've had a preseason top 10 team.
And teams that have been easily good enough to win national championships there in Fayetteville. So they're not a part of Super Regionals, but a lot of SEC teams are, and we always enjoy talking all things Southeastern Conference with Chris Gordy. Man, plug everything you got. Tell people what's coming up and how they can find Locked On SEC.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts, talking all things about the SEC and latest, you know, recruit commitments, transfer portal guys. I saw, you know, was it Georgia just picked up a DB today from the portal? So we're talking all about it, Locked On SEC. And, of course, we'll have full coverage here in a couple weeks from SEC Media Days with tons of interviews.
Yeah, but we'll be there as well. Looking forward to getting you to sit down live with us on the show, hopefully on that Thursday. But we'll see kind of what the schedule looks like. And we'll definitely be paired up there in Dallas coming up in just a few weeks. Man, always a pleasure. Appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your week and weekend.
Yeah, man, sounds good.
That's Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Again, go check it out. Locked On SEC, audio, video, doesn't matter. Go find it. Locked On SEC. All right, we got to take our final break. We've gone way past it. We will get there, take our final break, and we'll come back and wrap it up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Got just a couple of minutes. We, as usual, we went long with Chris, but that's okay. He's a wonderful guest, has always a lot of things to say. And so we're always, if there's anybody that we're able to go long with on a segment, it's going to be Chris Gordy. So be sure that you go and check him out, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube as well. He posts videos and episodes every single day, so be sure that you go and do that. And that's so funny. I had not seen his post, and he's got 500 Oklahoma fans in his Twitter comments right now that are just going at him. And so if you want something entertaining, by all means, go check that out. You can follow him on X at Chris Gordy there as well. Been a great show today, man. Appreciate you all being with us, whether it's both hours, one segment, one hour, it doesn't matter. All right, we're having a great time. Look, we always say this. Uncle T-Bone's not here today. He'll be back tomorrow. But nobody's working harder than we are, and nobody's having more fun than we are. All right, and we appreciate all of you, whether you call in, text in, those things, all of that. That has been fantastic, and we appreciate you being with us. Tomorrow is a free-for-all Friday, okay? So looking forward to that. We'll have all sorts of fun conversations for you there. We also have an announcement to make tomorrow, so excited to let you in on that. And it's good news, so just keep that in mind. We got good news to tell you about tomorrow. We appreciate the Orthopedic Clinic being the Hour 2 sponsor for On the Line each and every day from 3 to 4. It is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. And of course, you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. If you missed any of today's episode, any of today's show, go find the podcast, okay? ESPNAU.com. Lots of recruiting talk today, basketball talk today, and the Bruce Pearl what if of UConn. I gave you my full thoughts on it, and I'll tell you again, he's not going anywhere, okay? Let's just get that out there. He's not going anywhere, but I had a lot of thoughts on that and a whole lot more. So be sure you go check it out if you missed it, ESPNAU.com. Uncle T-Bone and I will be back tomorrow with a big announcement for all of us here at ESPN 106.7. Excited to bring that to you. We'll have that right here, 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.